Are you looking for ways to attract and retain private pay clients? Thrizer is a payment platform for therapists built to help clients automatically tap into their out-of-network benefits and save on therapy up front. Check out our special link, join.thrizer.com/modern therapist, and use the code modernTherapists to activate $2,500 in free payments with Thrizer.
Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY done with you training and done for you SEO options. So there is truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist and use the code modern therapist for a DIY course or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your consult for special offers.
You're listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide, where therapists live, breathe, and practice as human beings. To support you as a whole person and a therapist, here are your hosts, Kurt Widhelm and Katie Vernoy.
Welcome back, Modern Therapist. This is the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Vernoy, and this is the podcast about all of the things that affect therapists, what we do, the clients that we see. And as we have things that happen in the world, as we do here on the podcast from time to time, we sometimes bring more urgent episodes that we didn't normally have on our content calendar. And today is talking with Rob Bates, retired senior infantryman, LMHC in Washington State. And I'm talking about the stuff going on in the world, particularly the changes that have happened in Afghanistan here over the last couple of weeks. And a lot of the military members and veterans from across the world and here in America are very much having some responses to this. I know that I've had some former clients reach out to me who've been in the military, served in Afghanistan themselves, seeing a report from the Department of Veteran Affairs that on Monday they saw a 9% increase to their Veterans Crisis Hotline as far as outreach to their staff by veterans. And so helping our audience here and helping us along the way. Thank you, Rob, for joining us, sharing some of your background and helping us to better be able to serve people who have served our country and are now having to react to a very drastic shift. So thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here.
So we're really pleased because we were able to talk with you on very short notice. So thank you so much for doing that. But to get us started, we always ask our guests, who are you and what are you putting out into the world?
Yeah. You know, when we talk about that expert in a culture, I started in the military when I was 18 years old and you know, I joined the military straight out of high school. Spent 20 years, started in 2nd Ranger Battalion and you know, stayed in the infantry for the rest of my time and held every position in the infantry company from an ammunition bearer for the machine gun teams to an infantry first sergeant and the operations NCO for an infantry battalion. My combat experience spans from the first Gulf War through Bosnia, Kosovo, into Iraq and Afghanistan, doing combat deployments in both. You know, my actual records say I have 60 months in combat, which, you know, it is what it is. Some days are really intense and some days are just really boring in an intense way. Yeah. Yeah. So it's amazing some of the things that these kids can think up to keep themselves entertained when the world gets really boring. But, you know, then we take that back and we look at some of the hardest days in combat. I think about my year in Afghanistan for my last tour. And I think we lost 13 people just with KIA and the casualties and the just people evacuated for every reason under the sun were just impossible. You know, and so I went through my own transition as I retired and tried to figure out what this next step was. And I tried to go get some mental health and you know, I realized really quickly that as mental health providers, we really speak a different language from the language I was used to in the military. And what I decided was, I don't have to be the smartest person in the world. I have lots of great, smart therapists that can surround me, but I speak a language that none of them speak. So I'm able to go in and just have that interpersonal connection with veterans and have a conversation and help them work through whatever they're struggling with in the moment. And as I have that question, I just reach out to these people that I know can support me and around me in this tribe of really, really smart people and get some direction and help me go forward. And, you know, through the process, I've realized I'm probably just as smart as them, but, you know, I still have that old thought process that comes through myself as when you join the military, you think you are a little bit less than, and then you really push those boundaries and you figure out how much capability you have and how much capacity you have for real change and real movement and how great of a person you possibly can be. So it's pretty amazing.
For those of us that have been in the field for a while, we've always kind of heard that working with members of the military, working with veterans does require a unique skill set and a knowledge of the processes that go along with being in the armed services. What should therapists know about the unique concerns that military members do bring to therapy?
When we work in therapy, we kind of round off the edges and we make it okay to not be perfect and to experience failure. Really, a lot of people that have served in the military have lived in a zero defect environment, because when we make mistakes, they have real consequences for other human beings. And they're usually the people to our left and our right that we truly love and care about in our own platonic ways. So as we go through that process, understanding that you're going to talk to somebody that is very rigid in their idea of right and wrong, and then very rigid in the idea of perfection is where we have to start. And helping somebody understand that, yeah, there are bad days and things don't always go right, but we always do the best we can. That is the most important thing we need to understand as we work with veterans.
We ask this question for a lot of our folks. What do you think therapists can get wrong in working with military members, with veterans, that would be pretty harmful to them?
You know, I, as a therapist, I chose a very liberal university to really immerse myself in as I made this transition from a very, very rigid, very structured place as the military into being a therapist. So I really wanted to experience something that was completely opposite of what I'd known. And what I found when I got there was people didn't understand who we are. What I think people need to understand is we really, as military members, we're really good people. We're trying to do the absolute best we can in sometimes just situations where there is no good answer or no right answer. I've sat down with a lot of kids after, you know, they've been in firefight and had to make a choice and defend their lives. And honestly, if we have retrospect on these things, there probably are about 1,000 things I could have done differently. But for that kid in that moment, he really didn't have a choice or didn't see a different way. So being able to hold this thing where we allow people to, again, not be perfect in what they are. I feel like while we're completely non-judgmental as a profession, we're also some of the most judgmental people that I know and the way what we interact with people and what we hold for people as they go through this process.
So I'm hearing you say that there is a sense of judgment around these life and death decisions that you find that therapists who are not familiar with military personnel or veterans, that they could potentially put forward a lot of judgment or bias that would make things a lot worse.
Absolutely. I mean, whether or not we realize we're doing it, or whether or not that veteran is realizing what they're doing or not, you know, they judge themselves so much that anything that comes from us just shuts them down and they don't want to talk about it anymore. They just want to let it go. And they're already struggling with this moral injury of being the perpetrator of that violence against somebody else. It just makes it so difficult in order to have that conversation in itself. I think about my own journey to recovery and to being a therapist and finding somebody that I felt like it was safe to have these conversations with was really difficult. You know, because I had to get over first this thing inside of me that I felt like I may be traumatizing the therapist that I was going to be talking with about some of the stuff that was going on. And you know, it's great as a therapist to now understand that idea of secondary traumatization. But at that time, I didn't know. So these kids, they don't know that we're already prepared for that. We don't know that that's going to go on, but they're still worried about it.
Having been in the military as long as you have. And I'm sure, you know, remaining in contact not only with clients who are, you know, serving veterans, but also your own personal relationships with other people that I'm sure you've come across in your life. How have some of the therapeutic conversations or the feelings conversations, if it's outside of the therapy room, shifted since the U.S. started drawing down in Afghanistan?
Do you mean since we first made the peace agreement, or since Monday when we watched people fall off the planes as they're running in fear for their lives?
I will say since the peace agreement.
Okay. Yeah, because those are really two different issues. You know, because since the peace agreement, people are in two camps. You know, we all recognize that there's this idea that the drawdown needs to happen. That's a geopolitical issue that's not necessarily at our level for the majority of us. I mean, that's politicians and whatever they're going to do. But there's also this idea that we made a promise, each and every one of us, as we walk out and we talk to people and we try to keep them safe and we do everything we could to keep these people that we formed relationships with and we really worked really hard to have that engagement with and help them to learn and grow and to create safer communities for themselves. And there's this feeling that we're walking away from that promise. And you know, I recognize that it may be a little naive, but you know, we're taught in the military that our word means something. And then when we say something, we follow through with it. And that is what we do. So to have that part where we're just going to walk away and let them live their life, that was hard as well. But then we come forward and we see how this is actually playing out. When we was at the 4th of July, when we literally just abandoned our stations, got on planes, and everyone flew out. Think about that. That was really kind of shocking. I understand how these operations happen, and I understand the need for secrecy. But that was really hard to watch, and that was really hard to hear about. You know, not only are we just abandoning these people that were fighting beside us the day before without even telling them, but we're leaving all this additional equipment there that can be used against us in the future. And that's really hard to see as a soldier. And that's really hard to hear from my peers and my friends as they're going through that as well. And then we fast forward to Monday when we saw this complete and total collapse, when we saw the last people, Americans, being pulled out of Afghanistan. And you started seeing pictures, started seeing direct correlations between the last day in Saigon and the last day in Kabul. And I, one of the biggest memes that's going around with a lot of my friends is really that picture of a CH-47 helicopter taking people off the roof of the embassy in Saigon and being compared directly to a CH-47 helicopter coming into the diplomatic compound in Kabul itself, where when you look at the picture, except for the number of people on the roof, they don't look any different. They're spot on, exactly the same. So it's really difficult to see that, you know. So we woke up to those kind of things going on Monday morning. And I got to tell you, even for me, by Monday afternoon, I called and canceled my afternoon clients and just started calling veterans, because at home at lunch, sorry, it's difficult for me to talk about too. It's hard for me.
Yeah.
At lunch, I'd gone home. I'm listening to NPR and they're doing an interview with the CENTCOM commander, and he's taking responsibility for the military's failures. I'm watching the video of the C-17 taken off with human beings falling off of it. And that in itself was just difficult. I'm watching my news feed on Facebook, and all my friends are desperately trying to get our friends out of Afghanistan, whether they were interpreters, whether they're Afghan commandos or fighting beside us, whether they're Afghan National Army that were fighting beside us, and they're desperately trying to get people help. You know, and there's just nothing we can do. And so there's just this hopelessness and helplessness. So for me personally, I recognized that I really wasn't going to be very effective that afternoon. And I didn't want to contain my own emotions at that point. So I didn't want to contain my own emotions in the moment. So I just started, I canceled my appointments for the afternoon and started calling my friends and making sure they were doing okay so that we can be okay in that moment. But it was a very, very hard day for all of us.
Thrizer is a payment platform designed for out-of-network therapy. As a therapist, you would use Thrizer to charge clients for sessions and collect your full rate up front. From the client's perspective, Thrizer links to their health plan, so insurance claims are automatically submitted for them upon every charge. From there, Thrizer manages the claims end-to-end so that your clients don't have to worry about manually submitting super bills or getting on calls with insurance. The best part? Thrizer allows clients to only pay their co-insurance portion for sessions, while Thrizer covers the rest of your fee and waits for reimbursement on their behalf.
They also offer you an instant benefits calculator for free, allowing you to provide upfront transparency to prospective clients on their out-of-network coverage. Therapists only pay a standard 3% credit card processing fee per session with no additional fees. Visit join.thrizer.com/modern therapist to get started and use our promo code Modern Therapists to receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
At the time of this recording, this is 4 days after Kabul was taken over. I know that avoiding media and avoiding social media is almost impossible these days, but as the internet tends to do, everyone has an opinion of what should have happened. And it's a very complicated place in the world. It's a very complicated situation that's happened. How are veterans taking in all of these opinions from people who last week were experts on vaccination ingredients and now are geopolitical scientists who have simple fixes for what should have happened?
Yeah, I hear you. Well, veterans as a whole tend to be a very opinionated bunch, and each and everyone has their own opinion and they all think that they're right. And you know what? Again, there's a lot of really smart people out there, whether they were officer and enlisted, and they have some really great ideas, you know. So there probably were some better solutions out there. Unfortunately, this is the one we have, and this is the one we need to work through. So avoiding social media is going to be hard, but we can focus on what right or wrong, this is what happened. And that as something that actually deeply resonates with the military, because, you know, we make decisions and we follow through with those decisions. And sometimes in the end, we find out that wasn't the right decision and we have to be flexible in ourselves and change direction as we go through it. Just like we're seeing with the administration as they're flexible on this idea that we were just packing up Americans and putting them on planes and making them leave. Or not making them leave, but giving them the opportunity to leave, to this idea where we're evacuating as many people as we possibly can during the time period that we are going to be there. You know, it's pretty amazing to see some of the pictures that are out there. You know, my biggest hero in this entire thing is the C-17 aircraft commander that he had people start running into his plane down a half lower gate, tailgate of his plane. And instead of forcing them off his aircraft, he packed as many people as he possibly could into his aircraft, probably against orders, and flew to Qatar with them, because it was more empathetic and humanitarian to just take those people with him than it would have been to force him off the plane in a way that may not have been ethically or morally okay for anybody.
Yeah. It seems like the whole situation is so complex. And there, you know, this time around, there is so much polarization. There's so much, you know, like Kurt was saying, like these pundits that have never even been in the military have no idea, that are making all these statements. And I think there's so much opportunity for people to be swirling around, and I'm just going to say it, in this toxic mess of opinion and a really horrible situation. And it just seems like there's a lot of things, a lot of issues that would be coming up. You know, there was the sacrifice that's expected of those who join the military, but this is a different type of sacrifice that all of a sudden, what does it mean? There's been identity. There's all these gains that seem like they've been completely lost. And it just seems to me like there's a lot of deep issues that, whether they've been swirling around for years or not, would be rising to the surface for our clients who have served in the military, especially those who've served in Afghanistan. How do we support the folks that are facing these things, who served in Afghanistan, maybe those who are even being evacuated and coming into our offices? Like, how do we best support them in trying to even grasp a fraction of what it is that they're experiencing clinically?
I really appreciate that you talk about the people that are being evacuated, because those people are running for their lives because of a reason. They're truly terrified. Yeah. And they have good reason to be terrified. The Taliban are not nice people. What do we say to these people?
Or even just how do we comprehend what the picture is in front of us, and how do we best support them?
You know, I go back to this idea of Dave Grossman wrote this amazing book, and it's on killing. And I think Dave gets about 75% of it right. I think we talk about when we have to go into this mindset where veterans have to make a choice about killing people and go into this place that's really dark and really unaccepted by civil society. We go through this process of dehumanization of the people that we're actually working with, because it creates psychological safety for us as we go forward. But we also live in the real world where people have value. They're human beings. You know, I don't just think about my own soldiers that fought beside me, but I think about the sons and the daughters and the children of the people that we were fighting against that often got caught in the crossfire. It's not just the mothers and sisters and fathers and brothers of the people that didn't come home here. It's the people there too. So, you know, it's really a complicated and difficult thing. And you're right. These pundits are going to say whatever they're going to say. They're getting paid to say it. But as veterans, we're torn between these two things. We have to validate who we are and what we've done, but we also have empathy and we're going through this post-traumatic growth of becoming these human beings that can accept what happened and how it happened and grow into better human beings, whatever that looks like.
I'm not somebody who's served in the military. I don't have a ton of experience working with military members. A lot of this sounds like working with grief, of really being able to move into a place of acceptance and really complicated grief because of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of ambiguous sort of loss, as some of those connections that some of the military members might be having with some of the people in the Afghan army and some of the interpreters and stuff that have been worked with over there who have been left behind, and questioning if those people are going to still be alive. How can we help our therapists kind of put this into some of the skill sets that they might already have around working with grief that further helps some of the veterans and people that might be seeking those therapeutic services at this time that might help better this for some of those clients?
Absolutely. I think you're spot on calling this a complicated grieving process, because we're grieving the friends that we left behind. We're grieving the efforts that we put into this that have appear to have no value in reality. We're grieving the lives lost. You know, I whenever I think about something that's like this, I always go back to Frankl and he when he talked about the concentration camps in Germany. He said the best of us did not survive. And as difficult as it is to say, I often feel that way about my experience in combat, where some of the best and brightest did not make it home. And it's really hard to deal with that. So, you know, as we go through this process of complicated grief and mourning, we have to just really come into this idea of creating a new purpose and creating a new future for ourselves and figuring out how we're going to connect back into this real world. And as we grieve that, as we go through that process of complicated grieving and mourning, it is exactly spot on and how to approach this and how to go through this. You know, it's not just that simple PTSD. It's not this event happened. I'm now phobic to this. Now I have these reactions to this. It's this trauma-informed, just holistic vision that so many things have happened and it affects so many parts of our lives. And as we encounter these things, as we go through the lifespan and we see these things as they are, understanding what they are, understanding how they connect to that grief, and understanding that we're going to continue to grieve this through the rest of our lives. You know, as we have these new moments where we get to see our children grow or come into conflict with us or get angry with us, we have to remember that our friends are never going to have those moments. As we go through these successes, as we go through these growths, we got to remember that our friends will never have that. And we have to be okay for ourselves right here and right now. And we have to continue to move forward. We have to create that new purpose and meaning for ourselves as we go through this. And we have to continue to grow as human beings. And it's really difficult when you're mourning that much, that's with grief and that much loss.
When you're talking about this, I think there's the grief that you're mentioning. It also feels like there's big shifts that have had to occur in how someone operates as a human, how they see the world, and this process of dehumanizing both self and other seems like it's fundamentally required for psychological safety in combat. And prior to this week, I'm curious how you work with clients to move away from that dehumanization and gain back compassion, humanity, connection, seeing the value of people, seeing the value of life. Like, what's been kind of the strategies you've used in the past, kind of separating it from the current thing, just because I think there's a baseline of how we help military members and veterans that maybe Kurt and I need to know before we can kind of really understand the impact the last week's had.
Yeah. So the first person you always have to convince a veteran to have compassion for is themselves. So if you can convince them to have compassion for themselves, they can have compassion for everyone. You know, we have in the Army, we have the Army core values, and one of those values was selfless service. And in selfless service, only the mission has value, not ourself. So to have that so ingrained in our everyday life where it became a core value of the service itself, and to come out into a world that doesn't always operate that way and we see things differently, it's really difficult. So as we work with people and we help them to have empathy for themselves and recognize that it's okay to not always be perfect, and it's okay to see things that we have no power or control over and be okay with them, because we have to be. I mean, there's nothing we can personally do to solve it as a whole. To create that self-compassion for somebody is really the building block for everything else that comes.
Simplified SEO Consulting's team of mental health professionals genuinely want to help you attract more of your ideal clients with a proven on-page SEO process using the strategies that are most effective for therapist websites. They know SEO is an investment, which is why it is so important to find someone who aligns with your values and understands the importance of building your private practice in a meaningful way. Simplified SEO Consulting hopes to be that team for you and your practice.
The expert team would love to talk with you during a free consultation to figure out the best fit for your SEO journey. Simplified SEO Consulting has DIY, done with you training, and done for you SEO options. So there's truly something to fit every practice owner's SEO needs. Be sure to ask if their innovative content network is a good fit for your website. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off a DIY SEO course with code MODERNTHERAPIST or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off your done-for-you SEO program onboarding this spring.
Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist. When someone regains that self-compassion, I think about the process, the meaning that's attributed, especially if they are struggling to get past the selfless service to the mission. I would imagine that having a mission feel like it completely imploded would have a huge impact on folks who aren't very far along in that process of understanding their value beyond that mission.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about the Bruce Springsteen song, Glory Days, where he talks about somebody in high school that was a star football player that's continuing to carry that through his entire life. And that's what makes them a person. Mm-hmm. And we see a lot of this with veterans. They find value in themselves from that big collective thing that they were in the past, which was being part of this service in Afghanistan. And, you know, no matter what the narrative is, no matter what the politicians were doing, no matter what our orders were from higher, each and every one of us was doing the best we could to help people on an everyday basis. We were out there on bad days, we had to shoot at people. On most good days, we were doing humanitarian missions. We were helping building schools. We were bringing medical care to communities that never had it. We were helping reestablish irrigation canals. We were helping develop communication nodes for people to actually go through. We were helping them reestablish the infrastructure of basic roads so that they could transport each other, transport goods to get the things that they needed. And those were great things. Those were great missions. And to see those things just go away in a heartbeat from something we have no power and control over is really difficult. So yeah, it's really hard.
Oftentimes when something like this happens that makes a big wave in the media and a lot of people are called to action, and understanding this from a military experience sort of side, there's a lot of us who are going to be fielded to be called to do something right now. Predictably, the news cycle is going to change to something else. What is this experience likely to be like for a lot of veterans, where I'm sure that a lot of the images that are in the media now are going to be triggering, bringing up a lot of feelings, but also looking ahead to when this isn't at the forefront of the media, for those doing continuing support and continuing therapeutic work with veterans, what kinds of transitions should therapists be ready to look out for as the story moves into something else?
Yeah, well, we've already been watching this. I mean, no matter what it is, I mean, as we look at the 24-hour news cycle and how quickly things change, things are only important as long as they're important. Things are only important till somebody wants us to look someplace different, and they change that. And you know, that's the price we pay for corporate controlled media. And I recognize that. I have a lot of friends that have spent a lot of time talking to me about that, and I understand that. What do we say to veterans as they're struggling with this? We empathize with them and just be as compassionate with them as we possibly can as they go through that, because this isn't a small struggle for them. This is everything. This is a huge part of their life. You know, not being a veteran, there's this thing you can't understand where when you roll outside the wire and you go out to fight that day, you don't know if you're coming home. You don't know what's going to happen. It may be a boring day where we just laugh at each other for the things that have happened and some of the weird things that they were said or done. Or it could be a horrible day where we have to call in helicopters to help our buddies out, or if we have to bring our friends back under sheets or in a body bag. And it's just, it's, it's really difficult to be part of this and to go through this, right? And to see this news cycle shuffle as quickly as it does, and to minimize the pain we're going through, it's the same for anyone that is truly passionate about a subject and sees that subject disappear. We have a structure already in place for this. We just continue to hold that one person in that space where we're here doing therapy, and we continue to be there for them and recognize that they're struggling, they're in pain, and we hear it, we witness it, and we're present for it.
We need to have another conversation about military mental health, I think more broadly, because it seems like there is so much more to dig into, but we do need to finish for today. But what I'm really hearing, and some of the things that are coming to mind for me, is that the past week has been truly horrific for everyone, but especially for those who have served in the military, even more especially for those who have served in Afghanistan. And being present, understanding that there is deeply complicated grief, and there's also a whole process of, you know, identity becoming, you know, kind of rehumanization, all of those things that may be hindered in this moment, may be impacted in this moment. I just really, you know, we'll link to an episode on suicidality and how to assess for suicidality, that kind of stuff, because I could see that being huge right now to make sure that we're making those assessments. But I just really want to honor that this conversation is just beginning. It seems like there is so much here. And thank you so much, Rob, for sharing your experience as well as your expertise on supporting these folks.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's coming across that I'm not just a mental health therapist, but I'm in grief as well as I go through this process. And I completely agree, as we create new purpose and meaning and help people find a way forward. Yes. What we're actually avoiding is that suicidality and that feeling that everything is lost and there's no reason to go forward, because there is great reason to go forward. There is great things ahead in our lives. We just have to figure out what those things are.
Where can people find out more about you and your practice? And if you have any other suggestions as far as if therapists are called to action at this time, any organizations that you might recommend?
Yeah, so my practice is here in Washington State, and you can find me at BatesCounselingServices.com. I do mostly telehealth. I live in rural central Washington because it's a place where I feel most comfortable and enjoy my life on a daily basis. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, organizations we can reach out to, you know, there's a great one called Give an Hour, which helps veterans find mental health and helps connect us together so that we can find ways to help veterans move forward. And, you know, I think Give an Hour is a great organization. And you know, I've had a couple experiences talking to other therapists that are with Give an Hour, and for the majority, the people that are connecting with military service members also have a connection to the military. So that in itself is irreplaceable as we help people go forward. And Give an Hour, because the licensure is 50 states, so they help you connect with people wherever you are.
Yeah, we have an episode where we've mentioned them before. We have a partnership with them, and they actually helped us find you, which has been amazing. I also have some resources that were sent to me from the VA that have the other things that might be helpful for veterans and active military. So I will put that in the show notes, as well as the Give an Hour link and the link for your practice, Rob. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And the VA has a long list of resources to use right now. And I think that's a great opportunity for the VA to help. You know, the VA can be really difficult to deal with administratively, as most bureaucracies are.
Yep.
But just like therapy, if we learn to speak the language, it seems to help, and we seem to get better things from the VA, but it's still frustrating.
So. Sure. That's why Give an Hour is around, is to make sure people can find stuff immediately.
Right.
But we'll put all of those links in the show notes.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, because, you know, there are some great resources out there that we can push people towards.
You can find our show notes at mtsgpodcast.com, and we will include all of those links, as Katie said. And we appreciate everyone in our modern therapist community who may be called to action in serving and providing for our military community, our veteran community. And until next time, I'm Kurt Widhelm with Katie Renoy, and special thanks to Rob Bates for joining us and sharing everything today.
Remember to check out Thrizer. They are passionate about making out-of-network therapy work for everyone. Clients save upfront on therapy while therapists earn their full rate. Get started in minutes on join.thrizer.com/modern therapist and use the promo code Modern Therapists and receive $2,500 in waived fees for your sessions.
Don't forget, we have some special offers from our partner, Simplified SEO Consulting. Get 20% off a DIY SEO course with the code MODERNTHERAPIST or mention the Modern Therapist Survival Guide podcast during your free consultation for $100 off of your onboarding to the Done For You SEO program. Check them out at simplifiedseoconsulting.com/modern therapist.
Thank you for listening to the Modern Therapist Survival Guide. Learn more about who we are and what we do at mtsgpodcast.com. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. And please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes.